8 o'clock hour, after hours, Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders, former safety, wide receiver, Bishop Miege, Coffeyville, Austin Peay. Still has that 1 year remaining. Get you some nil.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get in the gym.
You could.
I used to run a 4.5. Legit.
Legit 4.5.
Legit 4.5.
What do you think you could do today?
Ooh, today would not be good.
Could you beat Restrepo?
4.8, maybe. It just depends. I've got to stretch my hammies out. I'm still pretty quick, but.
Now you definitely have to stretch it out.
My best thing was the 5.10.5 cone draw. It was a 3.88.
How many state titles you rack up?
I played in two. I got one.
Who was your coach then? Was it Grunhardt?
So I started with Grunny, and then my senior year was Coach John Holmes.
Okay.
Holmes, both of them are legends.
You know, both of them have won state titles.
Oh, yeah. Grunny's got at least one state title, possibly two. And Holmes then Mahomes many. Has like 10. Or I'm sorry, Mahomes. Holmes has 10.
Mahomes not coaching yet.
Yeah, not yet. I don't think he ever will, unless it's his son.
What do you think of the tush push? You fan of it or not? Because it's been talked about a lot. We've talked about it. It's on the proposal for tomorrow. It'll be voted on. Need 24 votes to ban it. Need 24 votes against it. But the tush push is in the hands of the owners this week at the NFL's annual league meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. That started yesterday. We'll go through Tuesday. Nick Sirianni, of course, loves it. He told, all I'll say about it is Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen, and Kellen Moore, their groups better vote for it because they're in head coaches' positions because of the tush push. So that's probably tongue-in-cheek, but he's 100% right. Sean McDermott was speaking out against there. I think the Buffalo Bills, they're a team that loved it. Josh Allen's big ass, they were doing it all the time. Unfortunately, they ran the left every time. The Chiefs stopped it a couple times.
Yeah,
but they did run it, and the proof is not there. That it's bad for player safety. There's no proof in that it hurts players.
And that was never my issue with it. I think my issue all stemmed from, is it or is it not illegal on offense and or on defense to aid a player by pushing them forward? I know you can't do it on special teams.
You used to not be able to do anything, but 2008, they like changed the rule because you couldn't push. You could push the player, pushing the player, like you could push them,
yeah,
but you couldn't
pull
push.
Them.
But they allow it now. Philadelphia was 39-48, by the way, on the tush push. Not like they were 100% on it.
That's why I said the Chiefs, if they were going to go after D-tackle, I don't know how far he'll drop or where he'll get drafted, but that Desmond Watson, the 6'6", 460-pound D-tackle from Florida, just get him. You ain't pushing that guy around.
I'm actually for it because it's a football play. Here's the teams that are in support of it. The Ravens. The Browns, the Texans, the Colts, the Patriots, the Jets, and of course the Eagles are for it. The teams opposed to it are the Bills, believe it or not. They did all the time. The Cowboys and the Packers.
Well, we know why the Cowboys and the Packers are against it.
The Chiefs haven't said, but you know what? The Chiefs stopped it, though. Like, they stopped it against the Bills. So now the Eagles. Not so much, but the Chiefs, I'm sure teams would love to blame the Chiefs for this, but it was the Packers that proposed this, not the Chiefs.
I'm sure the same question happened, and yes, it is different because of how the game has evolved, but I'm sure the same thing happened when people started throwing the ball for the first time ever. They're like, well, that seems like it should be illegal. We can't pass the ball. Your guy can pass the ball.
But I actually liked a lot of these rule proposals because they didn't change the game. They're going to mess with the kickoff tomorrow, too. That's going to be, they're going to bring it out to 35 instead of the 30. Touchbacks, which is fine with me.
Yeah, I want to see somebody be able to return the ball.
It's going
to
increase returning. By the way, Tootin returns the ball too, so I understand why Miller went there.
What I didn't like about that was that you took away some of the best guys, the Devin Hesters, the Dante Halls. I mean, those guys made livings off of that play, and you basically
Dave Tobe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've taken that out of the game, and that was one of the things that everybody liked seeing. Those were electric plays that can totally turn the tide of a game, and you kind of got rid of it.
You know, the Chiefs didn't exactly do the tush push on the line of scrimmage, but they did utilize it quite a bit. How many times do you see Trey Smith coming around and pushing the runner? Once the runner's already broken the line and downfield, you'd see the lineman of the Chiefs help push the said player forward. They didn't do it on the line, but they did do it.
Yeah, they utilized the rule in which that play exists.
They did utilize it, which I'm for it. Now, I've been for Mahomes sneaking the ball again.
Me too. He's 6'4".
He said he wants. No, he's not 6'4".
I know, but on paper, he's technically 6'4".
He wants to do it again. He said it in training camp. He says he wants to do it again. And he said he'd audible in the Super Bowl. The only way he could do it, which I was kind of hoping the Eagles game would have been closer so he does it, because I don't think people would be expecting it.
Yeah.
But when he dislocated his knee, he still picked the first down.
Yeah.
That was a freak play.
People forget that part, that he actually did pick up the first down there.
But it takes 24 of the teams to vote in opposition to have it banned.
I think it'll stay. I don't think they're getting rid of it.
Now, last time the Chiefs proposed something, it didn't pass. It was the both teams year. Should have the ball in overtime, because it happened against the Patriots.
Yep.
When Brady won the toss and got a touchdown, they lost in 18, the championship game. Didn't pass.
It wasn't until 2 years later?
Yeah, it wasn't until the Bills proposed it because Josh Allen didn't get his little opportunity, and it changed, right? People forget that.
Oh, no.
People forget it's just Chiefs are the enemy of the world.
That's where we're like elephants. We didn't forget that.
No.
Kansas City as a whole never forgot that.
No, we won't forget it, and we didn't forget it. But 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, I would like to see the Chiefs come up with something. They've tried different things, like Kelce doing it or whatever, but... And other teams done that too. Like Mark Andrews comes in for the Ravens to do it every once in a while.
We used to use Blake Bell.
The Belldozer.
Like
Carson Wentz, I think, could have been utilized in this, because dude's huge. And like that's one thing he actually could have done. And not only that, but if he had to throw it, he definitely could throw it. But again, you don't want to be too predictable if he comes in the game or whatever. But he doesn't have to line up there. He can line up different places, tight end, whatever. He can line up different places. And then if you sneak in and do it, so be it. But remember, he led the NFL in running back efficiency before the tush push was ever around.
Well, you say it's too predictable. You know, don't be too predictable. But the Eagles, everybody knows what's happening, and they still get it. So it's not about being predictable. It's about, can you design it and execute it perfectly?
I like the fact when teams... And even I've seen the Eagles do it. You think they're going to do it, and then they don't. They opt out, and they pitch the ball the other. I've seen Texas do it against Kansas State. They did it for like a 65-yard touchdown. Everybody thought they were going tush-push. They lined up for that. Looked like they were doing it. They didn't. They pitched the ball to the outside. I mean, there's ways around it with everybody selling out. Like, you get everybody on defense selling out, you can start doing some fun things with it.
Especially when you got guys like Worthy who can run that close to the quarterback jet. You just never know what's going to happen right there.
It's special. It's center's got to be good. You know, Eagles have been able to do it. Obviously, Kelce was a big part of that, Jason, but they were good at it after he retired.
Now, Jason did say he hated it every single time. He said it was the worst. He's like,
the
it worked every
the
time.
Brunt, man. They take the brunt of it. They do. I don't have a problem with this football play. As far as the kick is concerned, it is cool that they're going to allow the onside kick. Besides the fourth quarter, because you didn't have to be trailing in the fourth quarter to run it. Now you can run it anytime you want to.
Do you still have to announce it?
You do.
So stupid.
It is, but they do that because of obviously how you line up.
Yeah, but I think that's stupid.
And I don't think they should line up. I like the kickoff the way it was, to be honest with you. But you know what? I like what Belichick, just move the kickoff back. You just move them back further, but have everybody still in line of scrimmage like it used to be, and have them being able to run down besides waiting for the player to receive the football before they can move.
Yeah. Was it you that I told you my proposition for the new rule? With the 1 point on the kickoff? If you move it back, if you move it back even farther, that way your intention is to boom it, but not everybody can boom it that far. And let's say you do end up getting it through the uprights for some odd reason. You get an extra point. I know you weren't a fan. I just thought it was a funny quirk.
Man. I just like the way it was. I mean, the onside kick was so fun because, granted, I mean, it's like 2.5% now that the team's actually got it when they declare it. But remember, you have to have 5 guys on the line, each line of scrimmage, and 2 between the hashes. And I don't like that part.
Ruined it.
I like the fact of being able to come back. Being able to come back in the game. I like the element of surprise. We saw the Saints do it in the Super Bowl. I like the element of surprise coming out at the beginning of the second half and doing the onside kick, because you've done film work and study, and you see that everybody in the kick return team is backing up. You're like, hey, we'll just do the onside kick here. I think it's great. It keeps you honest.
No, I'm with you. I think it keeps you on your toes. It also makes you have multiple game plans.
Yeah, I just...
You got to be ready at all times.
Yeah, I hate the new kickoff, how it is. I just hate the way that... It happens. I just like the way that it was.
Go back to the old kickoff.
Move it back.
Nothing was wrong with it.
If you want to increase returns, move it back. Football is dangerous sport. Just acknowledge it.
If you want to keep the guys starting 5 yards,
and it's not
apart,
like Mahomes and stuff's on the kickoff team, so
no. If you want to keep the rule where they're still 5 yards apart and the guy has to catch it before you take off, that's fine. I understand.
Or if you
that.
Say 5 eyes on the line of scrimmage, that's fine. But do the onside kick, because there's nothing better than surprising a team and just keep pouring it on them. You get up in points and boom, you would do it again to go, you know, get the declare. That's like declaring the tackle eligible,
yeah.
Which tackles do. Like the Lions love running that. But you do have to declare them eligible.
And that's fine, because half the time they're declared eligible, it doesn't matter. They're not running a route. But it's the one time you forget that they are eligible.
It's the element of surprise, too. It's like the Raiders, when we're thrilled when the Chiefs did that ring around the rosy a couple years ago. I thought it was awesome.
That was great.
Because you don't know who's lining up where. And as a defense, you get confused. Like, where's Mahomes going? Where's, you know, what they do the ring around the rosy, and all of a sudden, okay, you got to quickly think who's where, and that'll force the team into a timeout. If they don't have any, they're screwed, but they don't know where they're lining up. I thought that was actually, you know, it's the ring around the road. No, strategically, no. It was a very smart play.
As a former defensive player, that causes a lot of confusion, because then you have to, one, you don't know who's coming at you, because you already have kind of an idea of what you're probably going to do. And now, if you've got a different lineup that wasn't set until the last second, it doesn't allow you to communicate with your safeties and bump or switch, talk about shifts if they're going in and out, if you're going zone or if you're going man. Like, it changes what you do, especially in zone, because now you have to understand, or in man, that you're switching. If you're not switching, communication is now delayed because we didn't know until the time they were set up, and that was already while the play was running. It causes a lot of confusion.
And I've seen a lot of colleges with the tush push go to different plays just to try to get defenses to sell out against it, and they go and, you know, run different plays.
Are we going to be able to bring back the veer, the triple option,
no,
in the NFL?
The Chiefs would do it, though. They like running that stuff.
Yeah, they ran it a couple times.
Seen them in the wishbone formation, reverse wishbone, then a lot of different stuff. That was very confusing to the other teams, too.
That play that they ran.
Reverse wishbone.
With, I believe it was Worthy, where they motioned two guys back and forth, and then they're going to the left side, and Worthy comes underneath. Like, those are great misdirection plays that Andy drew up.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the fun of it. And not only that, some of the players come up with it, too.
Only because it's been mentioned on the text line, I believe, more than once now. How do you feel about forward progress? About if a defender can knock a player or ball carrier back 5-6 yards from where they initially got hit, instead making
I'm okay with that, especially when they will carry him and stuff. I'm okay with forward progress.
Okay.
Although I'm sitting there watching the XFL the other day, or it's United Football League, excuse me, and there was a great defensive stop. I mean, just stopped the dude cold before the first down. And they originally called it like a first down. Like, what are you doing, man? Don't take this play away. They didn't. They fortunately gave it back to the defense, but he stopped them cold. It's like, man, that was like a perfect hit, and he about took it away. But that's the USUFL.
Oh, do I watch it?
Yeah.
When it first came out, I did. I have not watched any this year.
USFL was cool, and they did the XFL too. It's good they combined them, because they needed to.
I'm a lifelong St. Louis Battlehawks guy.
St. Louis Battlehawks, old XFL team, baby. But you can't. People want the NFL to, you know, create like a minor league system. That's basically a lot of those guys go to the NFL. A lot of them do, but college football.
A lot of them are from the NFL that couldn't make the team or was, you know,
well,
got
go
cut,
back to it.
And then they can go back. It's
like,
it's like
Parham, the tight end from the Chargers. He played in the XFL.
Oladukun. Yep. Oladukun was XFL or UFL XFL guy.
Yeah, he's one of the few quarterbacks drafted a few years ago in the Kenny Pickett draft, when hardly anybody drafted quarterbacks. Oladukun was drafted that year. The bottom line is, I mean, they're never going to change it, because minor league football is the college football. Minor leagues is the SEC. I mean, it's. Well, why would the NFL want to pay insurance and everything else? They don't have to. I would, like the CFL, like I was for that, but they'd have to change things like the 20-yard end zones and vertical motions and stuff like that. They hit. But I used to like the World League when the teams could assign certain players
Same.
To go play.
Well, that's where
I'm okay with that.
That's where the Chiefs got Dante Hall. Tim Grunhart coached for the Hamburg Sea Devils.
Like, I'm okay with development. Like, you go and send your quarterbacks, your third-string quarterback, to go do some things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Duke and him would go do it. Or Shane Buchel back when he was here, he could go do it. Like, you're not going to do it with Gardner Minshew or whatever.
No. But no, that's literally what they did with Dante Hall. They said, hey, we need you to get a little bit more skill. They sent him overseas, came back, bam, look what happened to him.
So that's interesting there. Let's go back and so we'll talk the new torpedo bat. I don't know if you've seen the torpedo bat, but it was a hot topic today because the Yankees had some success with it. Should everybody go to the torpedo bat? And MJ Melendez might.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. Who did Oz Domenelis pick for the Final Four? Has he made his selections yet? So I'm definitely doing that. Hey, we're in the state of Kansas where we do the show, so, you know. I live in Missouri, but work in Kansas. You know what I'm saying?
We're here quite a bit.
Well, it's going to be legal in Missouri, but right now you can only do that higher or lower now.
Yeah, it was a draft. Well, no, it's not DraftKings. It's
I think DraftKings is part of it. Underdog Sports.
Underdog, there you go.
Which, fine. Wait till the summer. We'll get to do everything. But you can in Kansas.
My girlfriend does Underdog. Man, it's been a while since I bet.
Do you live in Missouri?
I do live in Missouri.
Good.
Right across state line, so it's just a hop, skip, and a jump right there.
So you can go to the Quick Trip Casino.
Yeah, there you go. It's funny, when you go up and down Kansas City, if you go to the state lines, wherever there's a highway, you can see people pulled over, clearly making their bets right across the lines, especially in the north side, north town.
I remember the some of the suggestions for the stadium for baseball when they had it. They had, like, right field, like, they had on state line. Like, on one side you go make your gambling, and one side you go buy your marijuana.
Yep, there you go. Also, that does also fall into the Cincinnati play where on state line you could hit your ball into another state. I remember when they were talking about the proposal for the West Bottoms.
Yeah, you could. You could hit the ball in a different state.
Yeah.
Speaking of hitting the ball very far, the Yankees been very good at it this year. 15 home runs. They had 9 in one game. And the torpedo bat, which they also call the bowling pin bat because it kind of looks like that, how it's sized differently. But it was a hot topic today, right? And it was a discussion point because of Michael Kay. He was the Yankees broadcaster. He brought this up the other day on the broadcast.
Now, you see the shape of Chisholm's bat?
I do. It's got a big barrel on it.
Well, it's actually a little bit lower than the barrel. The Yankee front office, the analytics department, did a study on Anthony Volpe, and every single ball, it seemed like he hit on the label. He didn't hit any on the barrel. So they had bats made up where they moved a lot of the wood into the label, so the harder part of the bat is going to actually strike the ball.
That'd be a weird way to hit. Going up there expecting to get jammed and putting the meat of the bat towards the label?
It'd allow you to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, you're wait all right.
Yeah, and I wonder if the catcher will start, like, you know, tipping the pitcher off that throw more to the outside so you're not hitting them with the meat of the bat. But some of the Yankees use them. They hit 9 home runs the other day. 5 of them were that torpedo bat. Aaron Judge's were not. Aaron Judge hit 3 home runs in one day and almost hit like 2 others. But he did the next game, he hit a home run. But he's not using it. He's not using it because he says his work speaks for itself when he used the regular bat. And if I was him, I'm not changing a damn thing.
Yeah.
But Passan had a great article about it today. Like, a Twins catcher uses it. The Cubs, last year, Bellinger, that's now a Yankee, was with the Cubs. He said they used to use it in batting practice. So, like, so guys are trying to, and I guess there's been a rash of guys trying to find out about it. Like, 41 different bat makers are licensed for MLB bats, but they want to find out about it because it is adding exit velocity to your swings. You know, Giancarlo Stanton looked like he used it in the postseason last year, which was legal to do, but now he's not playing because he's got tendonitis in both arms. Was it caused by the bat? Some people may speculate that, but it's not like this just started. It just started where you talked about it. It's like when not Tom Brady's balls, but the putting why am I blanking on this? The with the Saints, the
putting helium in it?
No,
what are you talking about?
We you. Bounty gate.
Oh.
Where you put bounty. I mean, that's as old as time, man. bounty gates where, hey, if you hurt the quarterback, we'll pay you an extra $500. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens everywhere. But I knew once it was like they were busted because of the spreadsheet that they had.
Yeah.
People are going, oh, man, they really did that? And the media go nuts. It's something teams do all the time. That's why the torpedo bat comes out. Everybody wants to talk about the torpedo bat. But if MJ got himself a torpedo bat, I'm 100% for it. Try it out. Change it up. If it's legal, use it.
Yeah. I mean, play within the confines of the rules. A lot of people are saying that it's illegal. It's not. A lot of people are also confused at the look of it. They think that it's a bigger bat. It's not a bigger bat. Literally, all they're doing is taking the meat of the bat, which is on the top of the bat, and shifting it down. So the top of the bat now is skinnier than the middle of the bat, which is just what it would be anyway if you were to – it's like when you fill a balloon up and you can kind of make –
the same weight, by the way. It's the same weight, so these guys aren't swinging something that's heavier.
Yeah. It's if you were to fill a balloon up and you had a big air bubble in the middle, but you can move that air bubble from side to side, it's going to make it look like a bat. Well, if you just move that air bubble down a little bit into the label area, it's the same thing. They're not changing the weight of the bat. They're not changing the dimensions of the bat. They're just moving the dimensions of the bat into the bat itself.
I'm for it, man.
I mean, if it works. Now, I think this also got a lot of hype because, one, it was the Yankees.
Yes.
And then, two, it was 11 home runs or however, 9 home runs.
15
or however
in three games, yeah.
Yeah.
Against those Brewers, baby.
People hate the Yankees. I'm with you, Kansas City. We hate the Yankees. So anytime they do something that seems like it's cheating, even though it's not, we're going to hate on it. But no, it's not illegal. If it works, and if it's only going to work for certain players, because not everybody's swing is the same. Again, they said that they tailored it for Anthony Volpe.
Some guys use the weights and stuff that are on the bat, like hockey puck type things, which are legal.
Yeah.
But again, knobs. Pitching has gotten so much better. I have no problem with this.
I don't care about more home runs. You know why? It worked in the 90s.
Well, you took roids away from the players, let them roid the bats.
Yeah, really. We already know they juice the balls.
Yeah.
So why is this any different? Juicing the bats now.
Speaking of baseball, the Royals down the top 20 of jersey sales. This is a big deal for the Royals because this hasn't happened for a long time. And by the way, I got a response from the Royals on what their real road uniforms are. I'll tell you what that is next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back. JB Hinkley, Blake Schneider's producing the operation. So on X, there's a video from Milwaukee's opening day today where the Royals were. There's some dude just throwing a waz right there on the concourse. Like, everybody's walking around him and the vendors are walking around him. He's just throwing one right there, man. Which is...
He's throwing a what?
A piss.
Oh!
A whiz. A waz. He's throwing a waz.
The waz threw me off. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he's just peeing right there in front of everybody.
Attaboy.
He's making a hell of a mess, too. He's just all over. And it's like I can, like, maybe at bars where you go up back or something. Like,
yeah.
Just to do it right there. Because baseball stadiums are synonymous for having a ton of toilets. Like, in the men's room.
There's a ton.
I don't know what the ladies' rooms look like, but I know men, there's a ton of places to go throw one. And it used to be the troughs, and I love the troughs, but they don't do those anymore. But there was nothing better than a trough.
Why did they get rid of the troughs?
I don't know. I don't know.
You could fit like 30 people at one trough.
Troughs were great. And I used to go to a bar when I was in college, and it was called Lou's. And whenever you'd go in there and say, man, hey, Lou, I gotta go take one, man. And he'd go back there, and he'd put ice in the trough. And then you could melt the ice.
Of course, it's a little game.
And you'd have like steam coming up. There's nothing better than peeing on ice and seeing the steam come up. I know it sounds silly, but if you're a dude at some point in your life, you probably peed on ice.
Yeah, you have to. Or melting snow.
That's fun. That's fun.
It's always fun drawing a little picture, leaving a little portrait for the next person who stumbles upon it.
There's a lot of fun that can be had, but I mean, this dude's literally right there in the middle of the concourse. People walking around. He's got a nice Brewer shirt on. We're talking about jerseys here. I'm getting ready to talk about popular jerseys. No name on the back, though. Like, that's one thing you don't, like.
He didn't want to be identified.
Yeah. If you're a player, like, that's the last thing you want is that dude throwing one with your name on the back of the jersey.
Dropping a wazzle on the concrete. You know it's splattering everywhere, too. Ugh.
But you know how it is, man? You've been drinking on a tailgate party. I guess it was pretty cold in Milwaukee, too, because that roof was shut. So I guess
maybe
it was pretty cold.
Had a little steam coming off him.
But what do you do? I mean, Arrowhead? People have to be creative with that. Some people bring those little porta potties and those little tents so they can go in. And because
I just go between the cars.
Well, yeah, you got to be discreet about it.
Well, yeah, you can't be caught doing it if you can.
Yeah, but those porta potties, you know, people use those.
Yeah,
I actually used one not too long ago. It was like a couple months ago. I was driving by, had to go, man.
You just saw it, and you were like, "That's mine."
It was like in a new construction place. It's like, got to do it, man. Got to do it. Sometimes you just have to, but that's one good thing about being a dude is you can just kind of do it wherever.
Were you just whipping a whiz, or were you dropping a bink stink?
No, I was a whiz. I've always wanted the urinal, too, by the way. Like, I've always wanted the urinal.
Your house?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
It'd be awesome.
Trough would be even better, although I don't want to clean it.
Well, yeah.
But a urinal would be awesome. Put the little urinal cakes in there and stuff. And
as the text line says, the trough is gross.
I'd pay the Bingo logo on it or something, just whiz on that every time you... Seriously, I'd do that. It would be like I'd create them, like NFL... That'd be great. Like
that'd
NFL,
be great.
NFL.
How are those urinal cakes? How are those not a thing?
Like NFL urinal cakes. Like have it be Bengals or Raiders or Broncos or whatever you want. Just be able to whiz on anything you want.
I feel like I've definitely in my lifetime seen a Missouri Tiger and a KU Jayhawk urinal pad. Not the cake, but the pad.
You can sell a ton of these though. People buy them for their hated rivals. If you're a Missouri fan, you put a Kansas one or vice versa. You do it, but I think there's a big market in urinal cakes.
We're talking untapped potential right here, Bank. I think we just had a great idea.
I think we are.
We need to corner the market on this thing.
I better get on the copyright thing for this. I'd go on Shark Tank with it.
Text line, don't you be stealing our ideas now, all right?
I'd go on Shark Tank with it.
Heck yeah.
I'd turn around and say, you know, sponsor this, Mr. Wonderful? I'm asking for $5 million for 20%.
Yeah. Don't you like this New England Patriots urinal cake?
That is so cool. People would be buying the Chiefs ones like crazy around this league. Yeah,
the whole country would buy them. Eagles fans would be buying them. Cincy would be buying them.
They'd be buying the Chiefs urinal cakes.
Every Broncos fan you know would be buying it.
Well, I do want to talk about jerseys in Major League Baseball and not guys peeing on the concourse, even though that's, to be honest with you, that was kind of funny. And that kind of took precedent of what I wanted to talk about because, you know what, it's more fun to talk about that than this. But I did consult with the Royals. Remember how I'm trying to do my homework on this? I'm trying to get the source down so we know. Because I went out today and I got the new hat they wore because I know some people don't like them. I do. I like the alternate hat they have on. And they've worn this a lot. They've worn it on opening day, the powder blue pants and shirt. They wore it. They're going to wear it every Saturday home game. That and then the white hat with got the crown on it, the Royals crown on it. Love them. So I asked Steve Stewart, I texted Steve Stewart, who broadcasted the game today with Jake Eisenberg, right, up in Milwaukee. I said, are the Royals doing this all the time? And his response was, well, they thought they were cool, right? They thought they were cool. That's why I did it. And then the text line told me that TV, because I was listening to the broadcast and was watching on TV, but I was listening to the broadcast, they said that on the TV broadcast, they said that these are their new road uniforms, which the gray ones are pretty cool. I like them. So I went to the Royals PR. Nick Capel, who works for Royals PR department. And I said, hey, Nick, we're doing a show here and we're debating the jerseys. I know this is highbrow stuff we're doing. And he says, Bink, good to hear from you, my friend. There's no single designated road uniform. We will still wear grays and Royals blue on the road. Those blue ones they wear on the weekend. As many factors are involved in uniform choice on a given day. Hope this helps, Nick. You want something from the horse, you ask the horse, right? You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We clearly know this. But if you want to know what they do, it is not. I think baseball is very superstitious. And if you start winning in them, you don't want to change it, right? So they'll probably go back and forth. You'll see, you know, some grays mixed in.
I think based off the fans' reaction to them, I think you're going to see them a lot more than just your Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're going to see them quite a bit because they look so clean.
They do.
They look so clean.
And, I'm a fan of them.
And all the players have been decked out in their accessories with the gloves and the shoes and the wristbands and everything to go with that powdered blue that looks so good.
No. Text line didn't like the urinal talk.
Yeah, apparently.
How about putting Bink's face on urinal cakes?
I saw that.
The trough of ice is fun. Is fun and Funhouse Pizza. It was awesome.
Hey, we got a little potty talk here on the 96.5 The Fan.
I know what it is, man. Like guys are running around, like their wives or girlfriend or mistress or whoever in their car with them, you know, and she like turned the channel, this sucks or something. And he's like, yeah, this is terrible. I would never do that. But then deep down, they're like, man, he's right.
Later,
man.
He's going to go back and watch the chapters page and the podcast to see which part he missed because his wife made him turn it off.
Just right after he's going to go out on his deck. And
honey, I'm going to go work on the car.
Yeah, just throwing down.
I think the lawnmower is broken. I got to get that fixed real quick. Yeah. I'll be in an hour.
You talk about peeing in the pool. And it's, oh, I would never do that. Would never do that. And then they get in the pool, have a few beers, and they just let it go. You know what I'm saying?
I always, you know, when you're floating down the river. You ever go on a float trip?
Long, long time ago.
Yeah. It's easy to pee in the river.
Oh.
Unless you're in a canoe.
I had two daughters.
It's hard to do that.
I had two daughters. One didn't mind peeing in the lake, which is great. And the other one had to bring a porta potty.
Really?
So that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I bet that was.
Because you had to bring that. One would go in the water, one wouldn't. So. Yeah.
And then now you use that for your tailgates.
Yeah, now I use it for the tailgates. By the way, I didn't ever talk about the jersey sales because I was talking about the Snead whizzing. I'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Blake Sneeders, who came in and looked at the video from Milwaukee. By the way, the thing's going viral now. People are like, Brewers fans are not happy. But it was right there in the middle of the concourse, wasn't it?
For some reason, I was thinking like he was on the top of the steps. No. He was right out in the middle of the concourse, right next to the lemonade guy. I mean, it was all over the place.
I once saw a video going of, I think it was someone in Houston, and he had like snow cones or whatever, and he took them right there in the urinal. They're sitting there on the ground, like walking by, you can see him in the stall there. It's like, dude, you don't do that, man. Leave your snow cones outside before you go do that. That's nasty.
Don't be too gross, guys. I know that like
Bart Rescue would have a problem with that.
Oh man.
Tapper, he'd be pissed.
Well, like the text line says, better to be pissed off than pissed on.
That's true. That's true. That same person that thought that my face should be on the urinal cake.
I can't tell if that's because he doesn't like you or likes you.
Well, either way, it's
I
fine.
Hope he's joking.
I'm sure there's a lot of women that would have done it. honestly, they probably would have. Anyway, top 20 jerseys. There's a Royal in the top 20. You care to take a guess? This is probably pretty easy. This is
It's Angel Zerpa.
No, that's strike one.
Second strike. We're going Bobby Witt Jr.
There you go. He's 18, which should be higher. He got his second MVP voting last year. The dude's, I mean, that powder blue. Hopefully, that'll start selling like hotcakes because that thing's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue he's the best all around player in baseball.
You know that game that Vern does, right? Where you guess. It's like a pitch clock.
It does a pitch clock.
And you can guess as many times as you want.
Yeah, people this don't like take advantage strikes. Of that.
It's like he's done it four times. He's had like one guess. The guy today didn't even throw a guess out there. He said, name one Royals pitcher didn't give up a run the day before. Didn't answer. Like, here's the thing. If you didn't watch yesterday's game, don't call in. Like, don't call in. Because if you don't know the answer, don't. Calling because other people probably do know, and probably sitting back going, man, I should have been the one
here. I've run Vern's post game show so many times, and I'm telling you, guys, if you're listening now and you do call in for Vern's post game show, one, it helps if you watch the game before, two, it helps if you know a little bit about the Royals, three, even if you know anything, guess, just start saying things because
or pull it up on your computer. Yesterday's box score.
We don't want to condone cheating.
No, but come on, man.
Just start saying things because you can say 100 names, and if the 100th name in that 30 seconds is right, they're going to give it to you. So just start saying things, guys.
Just guess a Royals pitcher, man.
Just start throwing names out.
Yeah, you start throwing any name out. It doesn't matter. Just throw names out. Anyway, number one is Ohtani.
I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, now do you think
that's also from international buying?
I'm sure it's a big part of it. Freddie Freeman's number two still, which again, Dodgers. It's Dodgers people in L.A.
Really?
But Freddie Freeman, yeah, because I guess a lot of people probably bought the Braves when they went the Dodgers one now. But still, I'm a little bit surprised there. Juan Soto with the Mets is third. I thought that'd be a little bit higher, being in the Big Apple, switching from New York Yankees to the Mets. Mookie Betts was four, so they go three of the top four Dodgers. Imagine that. Aaron Judge is fifth. There's your MVP right there, fifth. Francisco Lindor was sixth. Bryce Harper was seventh. Altuve was eighth.
Still getting some
Acuna
love.
Acuna Jr., ninth. And Kershaw, believe it or not, still 11th. That dude's always hurt, man. Like, Kershaw's hilarious. I'll show him on the in the dugout all the time, but he's never played.
No. He's always hurt.
L.A. De La Cruz was 13th.
Now, that is the one I thought would be higher, maybe.
Gunnar Henderson, 14. Paul Skeens, 15.
Okay.
That's a fun jersey to have. Skeens is stud. There's Bobby Witt Jr., number 18. Anthony Volpe, by the way, was he of the torpedo bat.
Yeah.
Was 19th. Manny Machado
really?
Was 20.
People are buying Volpe jerseys like that?
At least Bobby Witt's in front of Machado.
And he's what, 18th?
He's 18th.
Okay.
But Bobby, it just shows you.
But he's like, a better player than the next 16 players.
It just shows you. It's like in the NFL, it doesn't matter what market you're in. If you're a star, you're a star.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Witt should be a star. To be honest with you, Aaron Judge should be a top two guy.
Should be.
I know he's from New York, but he should be a top two guy. But that's baseball. I understand Ohtani, though. I understand a lot of people.
Ohtani makes the most sense to me. I would expect
you got a whole country buying his stuff, too. So, you know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised Witt's not hiring, to be honest with you. But it just shows you.
Like, I can't believe Volpe's ahead of him.
Like, to be honest with you, when Mahomes really came on the scene in 18, was throwing all his touchdowns and won MVP and all that, he's very recognizable. With the haircut, he's cut his hair now, but he can walk around Seattle or L.A. They know who he was.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Bobby Witt could pretty much put a hat on a walk on anywhere he wants.
He could be incognito. Patrick Mahomes
not
is
here,
one of those,
not in this town,
no,
but
no. Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys that he's so famous, other people who looked similar to him would go out and imitate him, and people would come up and get autographs from somebody that wasn't Patrick Mahomes that looked like him.
And Raiola, the quarterback of Nebraska, has the Mahomes cut
exactly.
And does his pregame ritual and all that. I wonder if he cut his hair.
That'd
like
be
Mahomes.
Hilarious.
Have you seen Mahomes' new do?
Yeah.
A lot shorter.
Nice clean shaven. I mean, it's not shaved, but it's...
It looks like he was back in high school.
Yeah.
It's maybe a little bit shorter back
looks
then.
Looks like he was a sophomore.
That's I'm all about business cut.
I'm about business, baby.
It's something about business.
That's that revenge tour cut.
Which Kelsey trim is back to the old shaved head. The long stuff just didn't look like he should. Just doesn't look. He looks different.
Go back to the original kind of clean stubble.
Yeah.
The nice short stubble and the clean, you know, catching Kelsey hair.
Remember when Josh Verner used to have hair?
No, I don't.
He used to have like a hair.
First time I ever saw Josh was actually a picture of him was last year. I had worked a whole year with him. I'd never seen a picture of him.
And then he kind
of
had what was like a come over type thing where there was hair just hanging on.
Don't know. But saw him last year.
He just shaved it all off.
He doesn't look at all what I think he would look like.
Really? What'd you expect?
I'm not sure. Maybe I don't know.
Say what you want.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
No, you won't hurt his feelings.
For some reason I was like brown hair, maybe like kind of like skinny and taller. I don't know how tall he is. I've never met the guy. I've worked with him so much. We talk, but I've never met him.
He is skinnier.
Yeah, I can't tell. Like I said, I've only seen a picture of him. So it's not great, but
he went to high school
hair,
with like Jake Long and stuff. No, he shaved it off.
Yeah.
He shaved it off because it was going anyway.
But he's
right?
Got the goatee and everything. He's got the beard.
He did the right thing. He got married and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
He got married because Mike Moustakas was hitting 300 by June. So he went on the dating game. He didn't want to do it.
No way.
But because Moose hitting 300 by June, he had to go on. And you know what? He met Katie, was a great girl. And he ended
there
up marrying
you go.
Her. Boom.
There you go.
Boom. Thanks for listening. I'll be back Friday with Alex Gold. Then in April, we turn the page, and we talk a lot of draft. Thank you, Blake Schneiders. Awesome job.
Thanks, Bink.
Talk to y'all soon.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.